Hey there, it's Dr. Heidi. You're listening to It's Not Normal, It's Toxic, a podcast geared towards the things you may be misunderstanding about the difficult relationships in your life. I did not understand it when I was in it, but I definitely understand it now, and I want to share that understanding with you so that you too can find the courage you didn't know you had to make the changes you didn't think you could make. Hey, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to It's Not Normal, It's Toxic. Rid your life of toxic people. This is your host, Dr. Heidi. Today is my 9th wedding anniversary. So yes, I am a happy girl today. Actually, I'm a happy girl almost every day. But I will tell you, I spent many years in a toxic relationship, and I've spent now 13 years in this relationship, and the 13 years in this relationship seems like 5 seconds. And the time I spent in the other one felt like 95 years for some reason. And I keep wishing the time would slow down because I am in a good place. I am very much enjoying my life. The satisfaction level in my life is good right now. And I love my husband. So I'm super grateful to have found the relationship that I have. And so today we are celebrating us. On the podcast today, I have a guest that I've been waiting to have on here. I actually was on his podcast a few months ago. And I want to welcome to the show, Jerry Wicker, the host of the Soul Ramblings podcast. Welcome to the show, Jerry.
Hello, Dr. Heidi, and happy anniversary.
Thank you. I love this day.
Yeah, I imagine you do. I imagine you do. You and I were talking, my 24th anniversary is coming up Monday. So we have pretty close anniversary dates there. So
yes,
it's a good time to celebrate.
I think you and your wife have a few years on us because this is going to be your 24th, you said?
Yes. Yes.
Well, congratulations. That's a huge deal these days.
It is. I always say they have been 24 years of wedded bliss. My wife would disagree with that. but you know, they have been 24 wonderful years. Wonderful years.
Yeah, and that being said, we know that it's not that every day is perfect. You know, I get super excited about my marriage now, but I don't want people to think like every day is perfect and there's zero disagreements because,
right. Okay,
maybe every day is perfect, but no, really, Jerry, you know, as well as I do, it's still compromise and gratitude is what it is.
Well, anytime, Dr. Heidi, I know you know this, anytime two people are going to live together for longer than a couple of days, there's going to be some disagreements. There's going to be things that happen. It's not all unicorns and rainbows each and every day. The difference is in how we handle that. And you talk about that quite a bit on your podcast. That's why I enjoy listening to it because it's, how do you remain in a non-toxic environment in a loving relationship, even in the midst of maybe a disagreement or an argument you're having?
So, mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, and you know, it took me a long time to realize, and sometimes I still struggle with it. Mm-hmm. A disagreement to me when I'm triggered because of post-traumatic stuff, I immediately think I just ruined everything. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is the end of this perfect relationship because Dr. Heidi just ruined it again.
Right.
But what my husband consistently does is reminds me that we're just discussing something we don't agree on. That doesn't mean I'm going to stop loving you.
Correct.
I guess he must know that that's a trigger for me because he'll say that and then I'll be like, oh, okay, yeah. Good. I'm good. Now we can communicate.
Exactly.
So Jerry, how did we meet again? Because we met through a podcasting group on Facebook, correct?
That is right. Yeah, we are both part of a group of podcasters on Facebook. And something came up one day in somebody's thread on Facebook about they were wanting to do on their podcast an episode about domestic violence. And you and I, along with some other folks, but you and I had both chimed in and responded to that post. And I just happened to see the name of your podcast. And I went, it's not normal. It's toxic. What is that all about? And so I went and I found it and I played a couple of episodes and I sent you a message saying, hey, just listen to a couple of episodes of your podcast. I love your content and it's very engaging. And I love what you do with your podcast. And I would love to have you as a guest on my podcast. And here's what I do. And so that's how kind of how we started conversation with one another and how we met.
Yes. And it was very intriguing to me because you always open a beer at the beginning of your podcast, correct?
Yes. Yes. And out of respect for you, I did not open one today, but
I actually thought this morning I should tell you to have one because it wouldn't be the same if you didn't, but yes. So at the end of the show, he will be able to tell you where to find his podcast. He's sure. A funny guy. His episodes are very good. So then what, you know, on top of the fact that we were going to try and cross guest on each other's podcast, mm-hmm. you know, what made you go, okay, I have to reach out to this woman. And what I'm searching for here is what in your life made you relate to the subject or to associate you with the toxic relationship subject?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I am the son of a mother who was a victim of domestic violence. And this happened when I was quite young. Just a couple of years ago, I was like 4 or 5 years old. No, that's a joke. it was more than a couple of years ago. But I was somewhere in the neighborhood of around 4 or 5 years old. And my biological father was not only an alcoholic, but he was an abuser. And he was a physical abuser. He was also emotionally abusive and mentally abusive to my mother. And my mother, thankfully, was able to get out of that marriage. And a few years later, she started dating and married the guy who is technically my stepdad, but I have grown even before I was a teenager. I grew to know him as my dad, and he thankfully showed me how a non-toxic relationship is supposed to work. And so with that background, that being in my background, domestic violence and toxic relationships have always been a very passionate subject for me. And when I heard your podcast and some of the things that you touch on and some of the subject matter, I told you I go out and I like to go for walks on a daily basis or walk and jog, and I'll listen to podcasts and yours is one of them. And I remember one day I was jogging along and I thought, you said something, I can't remember exactly what it, but I remember several times out loud saying, yes, yes, that's good. I like that. And so it resonated with me and I understood what you were saying and you do a very, very good job of it.
Well, good. Because, you know, I told you this before, I literally just talk when I start podcasting, but I have a question that I want to ask you that just popped in my head. You okay. talked about your stepdad mm-hmm. and how he was an example for you on what a normal or healthy relationship was supposed to look like. Did you have yourself any relationships that were unhealthy for you then going through life?
Oh, yes. Yes. Thankfully I did not marry them.
wish I could say that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess that I was just fortunate in that it did not get to the point of marriage, but yes. Especially during my, single years, there were a couple of people I was in relationship with. And the thing is, Dr. Heidi, I did not at the time, as I look back on it and I realize that was a toxic relationship. I can see now why it didn't work. But when I was in the midst of it, I had no clue. I really did not have a clue. It wasn't until after the fact that I realized, wow, that was very, very toxic. So just some things that would go on.
Yeah. And actually, it's funny that you say that, because that's exactly why I do what I do, because I was another one like you that until I looked backwards, I couldn't see it. And right. So, you know, I jump right in there in the middle with my clients and I teach them what it looks like while you're on the inside, because we don't know how long it will take us to be able to get up the courage to, you know, step over the fear and get out. And I don't want people to have to do it as long as I did. So, you know, you're exactly sure. Right. It's very cloudy when you're in the middle of it. And, you know, logically, when you're in it, I think we all know this relationship is not healthy for us, but as soon as the emotions get involved, it clouds the logic and it makes us very confused.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good point. Yes. Yes.
So you're a little bit like me. Okay. They know I'm a podcaster now. They know you're a podcaster. They know I'm a chiropractor. And then I do this toxic relationship thing on the side. You have this is what I do. And this is what I do on the side, just like I do. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, the work that you do?
Sure. I actually work in my paying job. I am an assistant manager in retail. Actually, I work for Goodwill, a thrift store that probably everybody in the country knows about.
Woo! Yeah, I have to interrupt you. I'm a thrift addict, so I love Goodwill. Actually, I love any thrift store.
So do we, because of your addiction, do we need to have some retail therapy and,
yes.
And take you to a thrift store?
Yes.
Yeah, I really enjoy what we do there. Goodwill is a 501c3. We are a charity, and I am the assistant manager at one of our local stores here in Florida. And we provide, our mission is providing dignity through work. And these are our team members, our folks who are looking for the respectability of earning a paycheck. And that's what we coach them with and provide for them and guide them in doing. And that's what everything that folks donate. And when they come and shop, that's what they're supporting. And it's a wonderful organization, and I'm proud to be a part of it and proud to do my little bit in helping some of our team members succeed, and that their success is my success. So even if they leave Goodwill and they go on to bigger and better things, at least I know I had a little part in that success, and that is very, very gratifying for me.
Yes. And I do have to tell you this too. I live in a very little house. Okay. So I can only thrift so much before I have to start.
You got to purge.
Yes, I have to purge. So guess who gets my purging stuff? So it works out perfect. See, we're a great team.
Yeah. That is the way it works, is, you know, folks purge and then they come back into the store and they find some new treasures to them, and it goes again. And so it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing.
So this just reminded me, this is probably the funniest Goodwill story. And of course, I couldn't really tell anybody. When I had a practice in my former life, the Goodwill was directly across the street. Mm-hmm. So of course, if I had two patients canceled, I had a half an hour. So guess where I went, right? And it was funny because I cleaned out my closet, and I think that they probably mix stuff up and then distribute it to other stores. But possibly some of it that gets donated to One Source stays there, right?
Yeah, okay. It's it depends on, you know, the amount of sales floor space and the need for that particular item. But most everything stays in the store that you donate it. Some things do move along to another store that may be in need of whatever that item is.
So like you all know, I'm very loud. I'm very obnoxious. I love bright colors. And I had this pair of pants that probably nobody but me would wear. And I donated them. And 2 days later, I had a patient walk in with my pants on. And I guess it shouldn't be a surprise, but I'm like, oh my gosh, those are my pants. And it was hilarious. I didn't tell her they were my pants, obviously.
Anyway. Yeah, we've heard stories like that many, many times, many, many times. It's I donated this set of dishes, and I went over to my neighbor's house, and they had dinner for me and my wife, and they had the dishes that we had, and they're like next door neighbors. They bought them at Goodwill.
I love that, but that makes such good stories. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Okay, so that's what you do for a living. Now, tell us what else you do for work, or for or for passion.
Sure, it's not. Yeah, you're right. It's not really work. It's a joy and passion of mine. Is an important part of my life is my faith, and I am not an ordained minister. I am in the Methodist Church, in the United Methodist Church. There is this designation called Certified Lay Minister. And what that is a lay person who is filling the pulpit. And so I preach a lot. I enjoy preaching. And that is one of my passions. And
so you do a lot of like substituting if people are on vacation.
Correct. Correct. I fill in for there. We have a network here in our local town of United Methodist churches, and I'm familiar with most all of the pastors there, and they have my contact information. As a matter of fact, I heard from one last week, and I'm going to fill in for her here in a couple of weeks at a church that's not even my home church. I fill in quite a bit at our home church. And so I really enjoy preaching. And as a matter of fact, a lot of times I will just feature on my podcast the audio of the sermon that I did the previous week as that week's episode. Sometimes I'll do that.
Okay, good. I was just going to say, you might have people that are wanting to listen to that. So that's good. Yeah. Do you have anybody that's in the ministry in your family?
Not that I'm aware of.
So you were just kind of like me. You just popped out and was like, ta-da, I'm doing this.
My mother, when she was still alive, she told me that my great-grandmother, her grandmother, said when I was still a child that she said, he is going to grow up and he is going to be a preacher. And she said, she's always remembered that. And so, you know, I guess my great grandmother had the intuition. I'm not really, like I said, I'm not fully ordained. I can't marry people within the Methodist Church. I have performed weddings. We live in Florida. So, we have had some folks that looking for a beach wedding, with that dream beach wedding.
Right.
And I have performed those ceremonies, but not under the banner of the United Methodist Church. It was more of a legal ceremony more than anything.
Right.
So I can't marry somebody in the name of the church, but I have done that. So yeah, it is a passion of mine. I really enjoy it. We've done these, you know, these spiritual gift assessments and that sort of thing. And my wife has always told me, she said, you know, your gift is preaching and teaching. And I said, no, there are so many more people that I know and that I've heard that are better preachers and teachers than I am. So that's not my area of giftedness. And every assessment we've taken, it comes back, my top two gifts turn out to be preaching and teaching. And of course, she always is quick to point out that she told me so.
Yes, I bet she does love that part.
Yes, she does.
So my grandma always told me I was going to be an Olympic gymnast. So you at least fulfilled your grandma's.
It's not too late, Dr. Heidi.
I was a gymnast for a while, but yeah. So, okay. So that being said, because of your background and the history with the exposure to domestic violence and, you know, emotional abuse and, you know, the whole toxic relationship subject, because this is a touchy thing for a lot of people, and obviously everybody believes in something different.
Sure.
And so I talk to a lot of people, and I respect the fact that people believe different things, but I do run into, and of course I was raised in the church. My father is a prison chaplain. My grandpa was a preacher. So I'm familiar with, you know, the faith and the religious. I don't want to say religious rules. What word am I looking for?
I think you're looking for maybe fundamentalism.
Yes. Perfect. And how, you know, the vows are very, very important, and how the church views the marriage itself is very important, and the family unit is very important. And I remember when I was in my former marriage, always feeling like leaving was not an option because I was raised in the church. And of course, divorce is frowned upon and breaking up the family is frowned upon. So I thought maybe you could give a little insight, because I know that there's listeners that are staying in relationships that are unhealthy for them because of religious teachings and religious beliefs. And I just wanted to know if you can give us your perspective on, you know, the religion and the abuse conflict.
Yeah. Well, the first thing is, you know, a lot of times I hear people say, well, especially the victim will say, well, my family is telling me, and this person is telling me that God hates divorce. God hates divorce. Well, yes, God does hate divorce, but it's not the act of divorcing so much that he hates. He hates what is causing that divorce, because that is, you know, he does not intend for us to get divorced, but what is it that is causing this divorce? That's where we need to focus our attention, because a lot of times there are males that deal with this, but primarily it's females that deal with this. And I'm sure in your work, you would agree with this. I don't know what the statistics are, but I would say by and large, it's mainly females that are victims.
Actually, I don't mean to interrupt you.
Sure, go ahead.
I did finally look up the stats on that because I thought just like you. And I guessed before I looked it up that it was going to be 80-20, and it's actually 60-40.
60-40, that's higher. Yes. That's higher than I thought.
Yeah, I think the reason we don't hear so much about it is, as you know, women are talkers. Mm-hmm. A lot of men are not so much talkers. And I think we just hear, you know, we hear about it a lot more. But I was surprised at that statistic. It was a couple of years
too.
Ago.
I was like you. I would have figured 90-10, 80-20.
Yeah.
But yeah, 60-40 is surprising. But at any rate, still majority women.
Right.
And so we're, you know, the women are being told that God hates divorce. And I say that, yes, God hates divorce, but he's hating what is causing the divorce. And if we read, I really cringe when I hear someone take a verse out of context. And they say, well, you know, women are to be submissive to the husband because the husband is the head of the wife. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a half truth. It does not, if you read before that verse, or actually five or six verses before that verse, it's in Ephesians it talks about the responsibility of the husband before it gets to the responsibility of the wife. And Paul talks about husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. Well, and gave himself up for it. So when Christ died, he died for our sins. But according to that passage, he also died for the church. The church is referred to as Christ's bride, the bride of Christ. So Christ gives us the example. I don't know, I may be proven wrong at some point, but a husband who loves his wife to the point that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it, I don't know that there would be any woman that would have a problem with that.
Right.
there's no woman that would have any kind of issue with that. Christ did not love the church by beating the church into submission.
Yep.
But we and, always, you know, we just always, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, this just made me think, you know, I see it a lot of times in the one-on-one clients that I work with. You know, there's nothing really put out there that, you know, actions speak louder than words. We all know that. The problem is we like to listen to words and we forget to watch the actions. And so there is a lot of when someone decides to leave a relationship that's unhealthy for them, all of the sudden, this ginormous, what I call it, I might have made this term up, spiritual abuse shows up. And they start throwing these verses that you're talking about, you know, haphazardly around, completely out of context, to make the person who's trying to, you know, choose themselves feel bad because of, you know, religious beliefs. And it may be something that this person has never been religious before, but knows enough to Google stuff like this. And so it breaks my heart when the spiritual abuse starts, because, you know, I see it trap people all the time. And I hate to say you're trapped in religion, because religion is supposed to be freeing and peaceful.
Exactly.
And, but when you were talking about these verses taken out of context, these verses can be very dangerous and cause a lot of guilt in people, thus making them stay, including myself.
Yes, you're absolutely right. The context is everything. And to say that a woman is not supposed to leave a toxic, abusive relationship because of some out of context scripture, I think is one of the most damning things we can do to people. And I really am passionate about that, because I've seen it happen myself, and it is heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking because it's a very powerful tool, this spiritual abuse that you're talking about.
You know, and when you mix it with the emotional abuse aspect, you know, an emotional abuser is somebody who uses your emotions against you to get what they need. So they know if they can throw this spiritual aspect at you, they can make you feel guilty.
Oh, yeah.
And I did a podcast on this a few weeks ago. What do we do when we feel guilty? All we can think about is getting rid of that feeling, because nobody wants to feel guilty.
Right.
And so, and I know that was the thing that kept me for a long time. I felt so guilty. And that kind of segues me into the next thing I want to ask you.
Sure.
I think even when I realized, okay, it's time to leave, it was the thought of breaking up the family unit that then kept me there. You know, I don't want my girls to be from a divorced home. I don't want my kids to have divorced parents. I don't, you know, what, looking back, I have a different perspective, but I want to hear your perspective on the thought of the breaking up the family household and the guilt that goes with it, with the religious aspect, when it is an abusive or, you know, emotionally damaging environment.
Yeah. I'm all for just full disclosure, I'm all for doing whatever we can to keep the family unit together. However, if there is abuse, if there is toxicity there, then I believe that the God I worship, Dr. Heidi, is a God of grace and mercy and compassion and love. And he knows what we're going through. He knows exactly what we're going through. And to have this guilt thrust upon us as a way to make us stay in a very unhealthy relationship, I don't think God approves of that, because he does not intend for us to live in all of the emotions that go with that, the fear, the self-doubt, the being down on ourselves. We're children of God, for crying out loud. You know, we're told in scripture that we are made in his image. How dare somebody try to make us feel less than and then harm us in the process, and then try to use the word of God to try to make that person stay? So that's mm-hmm. where I'm coming from. And I understand the mentality of someone who is going to stay because of that spiritual abuse. I blame the person doing the spiritual abuse for taking I take to task, and I even call it what it is. It's blasphemy in my point of view, because that is not the God I worship.
Right.
And I don't believe that is the way he wants us to live our life. And I believe also that, you know, again, it's going to hurt no matter what you do. It's going to hurt. And leaving, breaking up that family unit, is that a good thing? No, it's not a good thing. But it's not because the abused person left. It's because of what the abuser did to cause the abused person to leave. Right. That put this victim blaming has got to stop.
Yes.
It just drives me insane when I hear somebody say, and I'm just using you as an example, but, you know, Heidi left her husband. Well, okay, just out of the blue, or what happened to cause that? Let's turn the focus on what caused that mm-hmm. instead of just, you know, Heidi's a bad person because she broke up her family.
Okay,
no,
so that brings up a completely different point. Okay, yes, Heidi left her husband, but what caused that? But what happens is the toxic personality will deny everything. Mm-hmm. So that makes somebody okay. like me go, okay, well, I don't want to take the blame, and it's going to make me look bad. So once again, here I am stuck.
Yeah. Yeah. That,
you know, and when I finally did leave, I mean, the stuff that went on was insane. And when I finally did leave, I was accused of every sin in the book.
Yeah.
None of which were true, which, however, I decided not to defend myself. That's called the smear campaign, just for mm-hmm. those of you who are listening. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to make you look bad. And I had to consciously make a choice not to worry about what was being said about me, because I knew the truth and the people that mattered knew the truth.
Exactly.
And I had to, that's probably what saved me, because once I decided I was not going to try and explain myself, it kind of kept me out of the muck. And I kind of mm-hmm. just had to put my little umbrella up, and just let all that stuff roll off until it kind of trickled away. And to this day, I will get messages from people that say, we had it completely wrong. You know, we really judged you when you left, and now we had no idea what you were going through. But it was really hard for me to keep my mouth shut, because everything that was being said was absolutely not true.
Well, yeah, when your reaction was right, because yeah, the first thing somebody accuses me of something I know is absolute bunk. Yeah, I'm going to, you know, my first instinct is to defend myself. But your response was absolutely right, because you said it yourself. You knew the truth. those that loved you and knew you knew the truth, and God knows the truth. You got that?
Right.
Focus on that. And, you know, whatever anybody else says or accuses or is judging, they'll have to deal with that with their creator. So.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's confusing for people too, because, you know, after you've been in a toxic environment for a while, toxic traits are contagious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you end up fighting fire with fire. It's a, well, if I can't beat him, join him type of thing. So sure. Like, I can't say that I didn't show toxic traits, and I can't say that I did everything perfect. I was a little rascal towards the end. I'm not going to lie. And so that makes you question yourself too, because then you look at yourself and you're like, yeah, but I'm doing the same thing. So then maybe it's me.
Yeah.
You know, but as far as, you know, the religious aspect and the breaking up the family aspect that goes along with the faith and the beliefs that you have according to your faith, thank you for expanding on that, because it is definitely something that I know for me kept me longer than I should have. However, everything happens just like it's supposed to. And I'll tell you right now, today on my 9th wedding anniversary, if I would have turned left one time when I turned right, I would have not met the man that I'm married to now.
So, right, well, hey, there you go. Right.
So everything happens exactly like it's supposed to. So wherever you listeners are in your journey, it's where you're supposed to be right now.
Yes.
So Jerry, can you tell people how to find you and how to find your podcast? And I'm going to guess that the people who are questioning some of the religious stuff may want to hear some of your sermons. So how can people find you?
Well, I have usually what I do every week, my podcast comes out on Wednesdays. Every Wednesday, I have a new episode, and I have a blog that I have the podcast on there. And I usually just send people to my blog, and it's soulramblingspodcast.wordpress.com. And it's all one word and all lowercase. And so if you go to that website, go to that blog, every Wednesday, and you can play, there's an embedded player there. You can play it straight from the blog.
Okay. So soulramblingspodcast.wordpress.com.
Yes. Okay. Yes. That's usually where it is. You can also find our Facebook page there. And we have an Instagram account. We just started an Instagram account a couple of months ago, and always updating there and telling when new episodes are loaded up and ready to go. So,
okay. And is Instagram Soul Ramblings also?
It is Soul Ramblings Podcast. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. And, you know, I really enjoy listening to this podcast. So I think you guys will too. I'm going to guess there's some place that you can get a hold of him if you have a question on the topics that we were discussing. If there's not, you know how to get a hold of me. And unfortunately for Jerry, I know how to get a hold of him. So,
well, you can always send me an email if you have any questions or comments or what have you. And my email is soulramblingspodcast@gmail.com.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
Perfect. And I do think that I wouldn't be surprised if you do hear, knowing, I mean, they're going to know that you're not licensed or whatever it is, but it's just really nice to get other people's opinions, because we get really clouded with the unclarity on the subject.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's one of the things, Dr. Heidi, and you touch on some great things. One of the things that really gets me is not only the spiritual abuse, but also in certain faith traditions, the religious community, the faith community can be toxic for someone who's in a toxic relationship already. So I hope to spread the original message of the person I worship, the God that I worship, which is love, peace, compassion, and freedom. And that nothing about that is toxic.
Yeah, you're right. My dad sends me a Bible verse every Monday morning. And he just, he read the Bible from beginning to end during quarantine last year. And mm-hmm. he just wrote passages down that he thought would apply. And mm-hmm. he just picks them randomly. And it does not matter what he sends. It applies to someone that I'm talking to during the week. And this Monday, he sent me the fruits of the Spirit. And you just listed four of those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm still working on the self-control. I'll be honest with you. The patience and the self-control are two areas I'm still working on.
I was trying to think of the one I'm working on, but really I'm still working on all of them.
All nine of them. Okay.
But anyway, thank you for being here, Jerry. And you already know, I totally enjoy talking to you. I love picking your brain. It is the easiest podcast I do because, like you say, we just have a conversation and I love that. Exactly. So if people need you, they'll find you, but thank you for being here today. And I'm almost certain that you're going to be back at some point. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the opinion and the knowledge that you bring.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Heidi. It has been a pleasure being on It's Not Normal, It's Toxic.
We'll talk to you soon, Jerry.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye.